Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Don't catch it, Nick! What are you doing, you psychopath? How do you catch that ball? What a play. How you doing, pal?
Never a doubt.
Can you believe he caught that ball? Was there a single Phillies fan watching that not yelling, don't catch it, at their TV or at the radio or whatever?
Like, every single person was doing what Kruk did.
Yeah. Like, it's the no, yes!
Yeah. It was big. And
it was insane. Two homers, too. Casty.
Listen, I'm just saying. Like, it's just, we've talked a lot about games this year and how they remind you of so many games from last year.
Yes.
I mean, Casty making a big catch to save the game
in Atlanta.
It was just, like, so poetic.
It's absurd, actually. Like, what is going on? Like, it's so silly.
It's just this team. They're committed to the bit. But,
yes, they are.
So, like, I don't really believe him when he says there's a voice in his head telling him to catch it. Although, I mean, it definitely could be real. I think he just thought, go catch the ball.
I don't think he gave one second of thought to not catching the ball. I don't think at any moment heading to that ball did he think about the situation, about what was happening in the game. He's like, catch ball, throw ball. Like, yeah. That was what he said. He just see ball, hit ball. It's the same thing fielding-wise.
Yeah. But either way, it was, I'm sure you were tearing up as Luke Williams was
my guy
second
Luke.
And third. Yep.
But yeah, nice of Craig Kimbrell to hold him on. Like, what's going on with that?
So
I don't know if you heard Fransky. I heard it after. Fransky was like, you never, like, it's usually LA, right? LA, oh, what the, getting him. Like, Fransky was, like, angry. He was sitting there going, like, it's September. Why is this happening? Why? Because apparently, by the way, also Craig Kimbrell, the MLB leader in pitch clock violations.
Well, that's not surprising.
Why he's a reliever.
In a surprising tone.
It's surprising because he's pitched way less innings than most people.
Yeah.
Of course it's surprising. It should be someone who's pitched a lot of innings.
It seems like he had it figured out there for
it felt like
3 months. And then all of a sudden this last week, it's like it's back out of nowhere.
The not holding runners on thing is weird.
Yeah, but. He never. I mean, so
I know, but in that spot,
I agree. Here's the way that if I'm going in the mind of Craig Kimbrell, okay, he hasn't been pitching well. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been pitching his best, and I think he's just he wants to make sure his mechanics are right.
So he's just focusing
out.
On him to getting the ball to home, and everything else is not
whatever.
There.
Whatever, you can steal home. Whatever.
Surprised he didn't. Yeah. Like, he took second and third, no problem.
Yeah, his pickoff move kind of stinks. Yeah, I think he's just so locked in on I need to get outs pitching wise that I can't focus on that stuff. It's not great. Mm-hmm. You know, in an ideal spot, but it's not like he's fast to home regardless.
No, yeah, it's easy to steal on Kimbrell anyway, mm-hmm. but still, it's just, man, like, of all the spots, I mean, the one thing you don't want that guy to do is advance bases.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah, and I didn't appreciate Luke Williams doing that.
No, I know. It was almost like a little screw you to us.
You trying to take a shot? I mean, you
had the greatest moment of your career here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's what you'll be remembered for. And, magical night.
And for one podcast host. the biggest memory of his, the last 10 years.
You quoting yourself when the people forget James Seltzer cried, like, it was really funny.
Thank you.
It was really good.
Thank you. I like tweeting out random things from the High Hopes
account.
I do,
too. It's like
I tweet out from the High Hopes account when I don't want to tweet it from my own account. Because, like, not enough people will get it. So I tweeted from the High Hopes account.
I love that so much.
Because I feel like the people that follow High Hopes on Twitter are like...
the diehards.
Yeah, they
get it. You can do the little weird inside jokes and they'll be like, hey, you did your own account. I mean, you're big time.
Yeah.
Remember when I used to have more followers than you? You've like, you got like 20,000 more than me.
Yeah, we've left you in the dust, pal.
Not tweeting seems to help my, my ability to gain.
Well, the problem now... it's like everything that follows me is a bot. So like I'm at 60K and it's like, you know, back in the day, I'd be like, oh, it's such a, but then I look at it, it's like crypto. It's like, well, these are, what are their takes on the fills? Like, do they have a thought? How they feel heading into the playoffs, you know? So, but dude, like for a September game, right down in Atlanta, and it was a 12. Like the amount of stress I felt at a, like the Phillies are gonna.
Meaningless. We talked about this last time, right? Like these games more or less are meaningless. Like they're gonna be the four seed. Like it's gonna happen.
It.
I know. I felt the same way. I felt the exact same way.
Well, and I think that obviously when people, because they like to bring down the Phillies,
I feel like that's more than most
teams in the city, people look to point out their flaws at all times. Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, you know, the Braves had nothing to play for. It's like, that's not really true. And
they're still playing for the one seed.
Yeah, and they
guys.
Keep choking. I mean, the Dodgers might catch them.
The Dodgers are only with 2.5 back now out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that, like they do have, so you're absolutely right.
And it matters. And I would give more credence to that, I guess, if the Braves didn't throw out their A lineup in every game. I mean, it's not like they're sitting
Topper
players.
Was the one who was sitting guys. That lineup yesterday you're probably going to lose this game lineup from Topper. Braves are throwing out all their dudes. They play hard. They kicked our ass in game two. It's mm-hmm. not, what about that game? Were they not trying all three?
No, they wanted to turn it on for one game.
Right. Right. And they fought back. They were down 4-0. They fought back. Like, what are we talking about here?
And then what happened? did Michael Lorenzen out of the bullpen happen? Like, he's
cooked.
He just doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. He just can't pitch.
The fact, watching that guy two nights ago, the fact that guy threw a no-hitter is the single craziest thing that happened all season.
Well, and it's going to, again, it's going to be a great trivia question at one point. You know, like, where were you for the Michael Lorenzen? Like, who's the last Philly to throw a no-hitter? It might be the new bit. Honestly, If he sucks,
in the postseason, if he has bad moments, it's like, all right, we got to get Yes,
yeah,
we got to see the cycle goes away this year, then we got a new one in the same year.
Now, the problem is I won't get worked up until, like, eight years in.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So as long as this podcast is around.
Well, it's good. Look, we made
it. 2031.
So it was a decade between the last two, right? Like, Cole was 2013's no-hitter, right?
2015.
So 8 years.
I mean,
there
hold
you go.
On. Can we just pause?
That's a bad job.
You host this podcast.
Yeah, that's a bad
job. Traded in 2015. It was his last star as a Philly.
Bad job, right?
I mean, I think actually I'm going to bail you out here. I'm pretty sure
those years were like meaningless years.
Don't try to lead the witness. Or I think right. Am I the witness?
Yeah,
in this case?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe 2013 is when they threw the combined no hitter against the Braves.
Thank you.
So
I had it stuck in my. It was a bad job. No, thank you for trying. It was a horrible job.
It was horrible.
Just own it. Terrible.
Because if they traded in 2014, they probably would have got Mookie for him. But who's counting?
Can you imagine?
But who's bringing up that stuff?
Nobody. Good thing they hung
on. I saw Rube today. Maybe I should have.
You should have said, yeah. Hey, Rube, seriously.
It's honestly my one. Like, if I could get him off there, like, if I could.
You could. You see Rube all the time. You could ask him. And Rube is super honest.
And we're close now.
Yeah. Dude, by the way, Ruben's a great guy. Yeah. Like, I'm a huge fan of Ruben Amaro, the human being. Like, lovely guy.
Yes.
Like, a genuinely nice human being, like, who's thoughtful.
Yeah. Although there was a time period there where I thought he didn't like me.
Yeah. Remember that bit?
I always think a lot of people don't like me.
You go in thinking people aren't going to like you. See, that's where we're opposite. I go in thinking everyone's going to like me. You go in thinking everyone's going to hate you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's usually, I usually think people don't like me.
They usually everyone likes you.
Yeah. Because I didn't play. Anyway.
Take us deep into the psyche there. You were about to go deeper and you stopped yourself. I like that.
No.
But the funny thing is like you could absolutely ask. He was just out there. He would answer any question for you. Like he's super nice, soft the air. He'd tell
but
you
then,
whatever you want to know.
I don't want to break it on the air and break the big news.
That's true.
They probably could have got Mookie. Or they could have got Aaron Judge in 2014 too.
I know. I know.
Well, apparently, I don't know how true this is. And it seems like an appropriate time to talk about the Cole Hamels trade.
Yeah,
I'm taking two or three from the Braves.
Yeah.
But do you remember the story that they asked? Like, he asked for Judge Sanchez and Luis Severino Cole in 2014?
Yeah. It's the all-time classic one. Yeah.
It's like anything else?
And everyone was killing Cashman for not doing it, remember? It's like, this idiot. What are you doing? Yeah. Who are these prospects?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
it's close.
We kind of got it out a little bit.
It's all right.
By the way, Cole was on WIP yesterday.
He's great.
He was like great, right? Yeah. And talked about a lot of stuff that I hadn't heard. Like, talked about the struggles in 09 and what that was like for him. Talked about getting booed off the mound that first game. Like,
so I didn't remember that.
See, that was an age thing probably, because I remember that well.
I remember Eaton getting booed.
It was one of the most disgraceful moments as a Phillies fan.
Was it opening day?
It was his first start.
No, but was it opening day?
I don't remember if it was him. It would have been him, I think. Yeah, it must have been. Well, because Cliff came
in at the deadline.
Yeah, the deadline. So yeah, it would have been.
I don't remember because I was there. I mean, I was there to boo at Eaton. I remember that boo.
Well, that is
it's probably my most proud fan.
It's my favorite boo of all time.
Well, besides, I did get in the head of Chad Qualls.
Yes, you've told this story before.
When he was a Marlin.
Yes, the dugout or the
left field.
I
didn't remember the boo off the mound.
Yeah.
On opening
it was not
day.
Good.
That's not. It was really not a great look.
The guy just won the World Series MVP. It was tough.
Yeah,
it's not what you want to see.
Great.
Yeah.
But no, Cole was great.
He was great.
And it gave us a good, I think it gave us a good glimpse into Nola.
I agree. Well, that was what was so interesting about it. Yeah.
And Nola went out yesterday. And
let's get to it.
Yes.
So what did you think? I thought, especially early on, the swing and miss stuff, like actually getting some swing and misses early looked good. Like, you know, had the fourth and the fifth inning. And in each of those two innings, I was like, here it is. Here we go. We're going to be losing at the end of this inning. The 5 runs, 6 runs. I was texting buddies, Bray, oh, here it comes. You know, and then, you know, gave up 2 runs.
But he didn't.
But he did it. He found his way through it. And he ended up pitching 6 2-runs, like the best start we've seen from him in a little while. What'd you think from what we saw from Aaron yesterday?
I was happy. Yeah. I was happy for a couple.
I was happy. It was good. It was nice.
That's a big take. 215. He was good. Like he had what, 8 strikeouts, no walks.
I think it was 8. Yeah,
8 strikeouts, no walks, and no home runs, which is big. So
first time all season that he's had 2 starts in a row with that home run.
Whoa!
First time all season. Pretty amazing.
Playoffs?
I mean, to make it to September and not go back to back starts, that could be a moment.
We getting Knowles? We getting big game Knowles?
Playoff Knowles? He's back.
Playoff Knowles. Well, it's time. I told you, it's a chance to rewrite a season.
And we said this last year for Castellanos, right? Going to the playoffs, we were like. It's funny because he did, just not with the bat, but we were like, hey, you know, this guy has had an abysmal season. People have hated having him here, but all this guy has to do is have a month, and no one will remember any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Aaron Nola has a chance to take a season that has been dog bleep. We don't curse on this pod.
Except for you.
And a little bit ago. Yeah, yep, that's right. Me sometimes when I can't help myself.
It's like a
I know. I stopped myself. It is funny. You make a great point that I talk on the radio for a living and never even come close. Yeah, but on this pod.
Every day.
You can get me going, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Nola has a chance to rewrite his season. I thought he looked good yesterday. Obviously, the swing and miss was good. 8 strikeouts, good. No home runs, the biggest kind of thing there. But I like that he battled his way in and out of those innings. I know it was back-to-back. I know it was annoying. I know it felt like here it comes. And I think we all felt that way. But his ability to get through that, I think, is going to be a big mental hurdle for him, hopefully.
Against a great lineup.
So if he can say, okay, I did it there. The avalanche didn't happen. I got through it. And I if he can just unlock that, I think we can see a different Aaron Nola. The other thing that I thought was really interesting, and I thought yesterday was a big day if you wanted to get a glimpse into what Rob Thompson really thinks about this team and who he trusts and who he doesn't trust. I don't think he really trusts Aaron Nola. Like, the fact that he pulled him out for the sixth, I thought, showed that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a lock. He's going out there for the seventh.
I was shocked.
And
I was floored.
And he didn't. And I think that shows that, you know, he's going to give him a chance, but his rope is tight. His rope is tighter. And then the other part of yesterday was there was 2 classic Sir Anthony spots in the Hoffman inning and in the 10th, where Strom came in,
mm-hmm.
that's always been Sir Anthony's spot. He didn't pitch him.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, I've been asking for him to put Hoffman there instead of Sir Anthony. I was glad he did. I thought he had a bit of a quick hook on Hoffman, but at the same time, you want a lefty on Olsen so the game doesn't get tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And Soto, for as bad as he's been this year,
He's been good against lefties.
Well, lefties are batting 110 off him. So he still can get left-handed hitters out. Yeah. So I thought it was an aggressive Rob Thompson, but I thought it was also a glimpse into what the postseason around here might be like.
Yeah. No, I think that's really fascinating. And look, I think we've all been kind of where we're at with Nola, and yesterday was encouraging. The Sir Anthony one for me is in some ways not more concerning. I do think Nola is more important, but in some ways more concerning in that I expected him to get back. Nola, it would be a pleasant surprise, but I'm not expecting it. Like Sir Anthony, I am surprised that he is still struggling.
Yeah, and I know people now. The one caveat, and I don't think it's the case. Personally, I guess he threw Friday, Sunday, Monday? Friday, Sunday, Monday?
Yeah.
Friday, Sunday,
I
Monday.
I think that's right.
Whatever. So he had pitched like 3 out of the last 5 games, I'm pretty sure. But still, I mean, he has been known to push guys and put guys in. He pitched the night before. But I still think that at this point you need that win and those felt like Sir Anthony spots. And it's not like, Hoffman, it feels like he's pitched every game. So, yeah. Whatever.
And also should theoretically be on more of an innings limit and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. The home run to Walker happened. I just think he's looked better. Like, I don't think he's looked like a complete. Now, the home run thing is concerning, and I get it. And I think that's a product of trying to sacrifice stuff for control. Because I think he got so out of whack with trying to overpower people that it was costing him walks and he's giving up free bases. And now he's figured out how to rein it in. Like, you haven't seen him walking people much recently. Mm-hmm. But I think it's caused him to lose some of his stuff and maybe flatten out of some of his stuff. So I think that's a bit of a process. But I think he is showing some signs. The problem is it might just be too late and we might have to figure it out in the postseason. Like, we might have to see if he can just, if he has a red light, mm-hmm. if he's a red light player.
Yeah. No, and look, I mean, he was great last year. You know, we certainly have seen him flip the switch before and just kind of go from struggling to awesome, and the stuff is like that. You know, it's just frustrating because we haven't seen all year really with him.
No.
You know, at no point, like, and he had that nice stretch where he was getting outs and stuff, but at no point have we watched him and been like, wow, that's the best pitcher on this team.
Well,
you know, which we have felt many times over the last few
years. Oh, I mean, Peak Sir Anthony is the best reliever we've had here since.
Yes.
since
I mean, and Alvarado for the beginning of the season. Those two for like a month, you know, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and current Jeff Hoffman.
Well, obviously.
who could forget?
I thought that was just accepted.
Yeah. Respect Jeff Hoffman. So yeah, it's definitely the big thing. And it's funny because the way we talk about Sir Anthony and Nola is how we were talking about Trey Turner, where it's like, well, I'm not expecting it this year. Mm-hmm. Like, just chalk this one up as a lost season.
Mm-hmm.
But much like Nola, Sir Anthony has a chance to turn his season around. And I haven't given up on the idea of Sir Anthony.
Who do you have more confidence in of
what?
The two?
Of
if
Nola,
you had to say one of the two will end up turning it around and having a really nice playoffs for this team, which one would you pick of the two if you had to pick one?
Sir Anthony.
I would too. I know.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Sir Anthony.
Yeah.
Mostly because Nola has more opportunities, more innings, whatever. I don't know. It's weird with Sir Anthony because I think if he gets into like a tight game in a postseason series.
You still kind of trust
him. I feel like he's still got a little something.
Look, I think so too. Like I won't know how I feel until I actually feel it. But trying to like put myself in that spot right now, maybe it's just because it was great last year and we saw him do it. But like, I feel like if Sir Anthony comes into a playoff game, like I'm not going to feel as good as I did last year, but I'm going to need to see him fail before I'm going to believe he's going to fail.
Mm-hmm. And obviously he has the stuff to still do it. And he kind of has, I mean, his inning on Friday in St. Louis was just like, bang, it's
bang.
Over.
Yeah.
The inning Sunday in St. Louis, it was trending in that way. And he made a bad pitch to Jordan Walker. Walker didn't miss it.
Nope.
So, I don't know. There's still some part of me that has belief in Sir Anthony.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at too. Speaking of the wild card thing, we haven't really talked at all on this pod about kind of who we want.
Oh,
like, we've not done that at all. We've done zero talk about the Cubs and the Diamondbacks and the Marlins. We mentioned that we don't want the Marlins just because they're the freaking Marlins.
Oh, there's a chance. I mean, yeah.
I don't want that. Like, too much history, too much whatever. But Cubs, Reds, Diamondbacks, Giants, it's not going to be the Giants. I think we could pretty much say that. You know, they're 2 back of the last wild card spot. I think they're 4.5 back of that second spot or 3.5. Like, very unlikely to be the Giants. But how would you rank those teams? The Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Reds, and if you want to throw the Giants in, fine. But those three teams, the most likely opponents along with the Marlins, We all know the Marlins are the one we want to face the least. Bullet. Just, yeah. Marlins.
Yeah.
How do you rank those other three?
I would go from...
like most want to face versus least want to face.
So most want to face Reds.
I 100% agree. I don't even think it's a question.
It's not even close.
Like, it's the Reds. Like,
not even close.
Give me the Reds. And I don't even care that Hunter Green looked awesome yesterday. Yeah, like, yeah. Bring it.
Ellie's calmed down.
Ellie's calmed down a lot. He's actually been pretty bad. Yeah. Like, if we're being honest, Ellie has been bad.
Which is a shame.
Which happens all the time.
I know.
Everyone relax out there. Ellie will be fine.
Doesn't happen to Corbin Carroll, apparently.
No. Not Corbin Carroll.
So I would go...
there are guys it doesn't happen to.
Reds, Cubs. I would feel okay if the Cubs come in here. I keep looking at the Cubs lineup, and I'm like, I don't know.
Nah. Yeah, I can't. Again, Justin Steele got rocked yesterday. It's happening.
Okay. Don't care about that. He's going to... He would come here. Anyway.
But like, I mean, come on. Like, who's... Jameson Taillon going to beat us in a playoff game?
Marcus Stroman.
Like, come on.
Javier
Assad in a playoff game.
Nice.
Thank you.
It's the Mark Leiter Jr. coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, buddy.
Dude, if they got shut,
can you imagine?
If they got shut down.
It'd be like Heath Henry coming out and being like,
the middle reliever appearance by Mark Leiter Jr., I would cease to be here. Okay. So I would go Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks actually do
last.
Worry me. No, but I want them
the least. That's what I'm saying. So you go Reds, Cubs, Diamondbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that order.
And
Diamondbacks have been playing good baseball.
They have been playing good baseball.
And they are the most talented of the bunch, to your point, between Corbin Carroll and Christian Walker and Kettle Marte and even Gurriel and Pham. Like, they got dudes. They got some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly.
Yes. So the Diamondbacks do legitimately worry me. I'm trying my best not to look ahead to a potential Phillies Braves series in round two, because like after yesterday and the last 2 weeks, it's like, man, that would be insane. And it's different than last year for me. Like last year, because we just got in, it was so fun, and we beat the Braves. Like, wow, that's the greatest thing
ever.
Yeah,
last year was just like, we're in the playoffs and we're winning. This is so cool. It didn't matter who we were facing. This year, it's Phillies Braves.
Phillies Braves. And the Braves have the edge of last year, you know.
The revenge factor.
Little revenge.
And look, they've been substantially a better baseball team this year. We can call it. We see it.
I mean,
they've been the best team in baseball.
But I do think that they don't want to play the Phillies.
I think the Phillies are the last team in baseball they want to face in the playoffs. I'm not kidding. I think in all of baseball, I think the Phillies are the last team that break, because they know we're not scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they know we can fight them. We know we have beaten them and we battle them. And like, you know, like I'm right there with you, man. If I'm the Braves, I do not want anything to do with this Phillies team.
Plus coming to Citizens Bank Park. You kidding me?
The one shame of it
is. I do think when Rob Thompson says 4 hours of hell, and what team that was, I think that was the Braves.
Of course it was. Yeah, and guess what? It'll be way worse for the Braves than anyone else. Like, it just will. Like,
just
I'm sorry. If it's the Dodgers coming here in the NLCS, we'll boo the Dodgers. It won't be the same. Like, we'll be relentless with the Braves. Maybe if it's the Marlins in the first round, not quite the same.
Well,
but we'll be,
what are we mad at? Like, yelling
we'll
at Jake
Berger? We'll just be scared. It'll just be to our butts will clench up.
Yeah, the Marlins are the team I want to face the least, because they have the biggest upside of just despair.
Yeah, just like getting in our heads and just totally messing with us. Even the people in the building to the point, like, you know, they're not going to be as loud if it's a Marlins go up 1-0. That building's a morgue. Oh no, not again. You know. But so my one complaint, and it is what it is. It's just the way it shakes out. As I said wrong on the radio, and you corrected me, and I was an idiot. I do wish it were a 7-gamer. I do wish that it was going to be in the NLCS, and we could do like the full on real deal series instead of the fight. I'll take what I can get. But it's a shame that they don't line up for the NLCS.
Well, I just think that actually works out worse for the Phillies. If it's a 7-game series, I think a 5-game series is perfect for Phillies Braves.
You mean in terms of the pitching and the it's just so much more fun. But you're right. The 7-game series helps the better team in that way. And all.
Yeah.
I get it.
Although,
that's a good argument. It made me feel better about it.
It does feel like we're transporting ourselves back into 2011 and reacting to the Cardinals series, where if that's a 7-game series, probably goes differently.
Yep.
But who's bringing up bad memories?
All I'm going to say is the Phillies are 2-0 against the Braves in the playoffs. Like, that's it. Done. They've never beaten us
You're
in the
right.
playoffs.
This,
I just
we
say
need
that.
To bring it back to 93.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
This team is
right.
the exact same team.
This is more 93 than any other. Just in terms of like the vibe, not in terms of talents, but in terms, like we've talked about, like I think 93 was the last team to connect with the city at any, and I don't think any team has connected to the city the way this group has, but I think 93 is the only comparison I have. Like, it's the only thing that's even close. Like, the 07-11 connected with them because they were winning and they were great, and we watched them come up and stuff. But I'm talking about in terms of, like, the back and forth between the fans and the team, and also just the, like, lovableness of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't remember 93 like you do.
You don't.
So.
Yeah. I was a 12-year-old. For me, a 12-year-old kid finally having a good baseball team. It was pretty special.
So, Yeah, I'm trying my best not to look at. I do not want to look past the Diamondbacks because they do worry me. I mean, they're very fast. They're very athletic.
6-8 or 8-10. Like, they've been playing good baseball
too. They're fast. They're athletic. Corbin Carroll in a playoff series reminds me so much of when Carlos Gonzalez came in here in 07 and just torched us.
And like, Corbin Carroll's better than Carlos Gonzalez. Like, Corbin Carroll is going to be a better baseball. Corbin Carroll, like, guy might be a Hall of Famer. Like, I mean, if he stays on the track. He's the first person ever to go 25-50 as a rookie, ever, in the history of the sport. It's never happened before. Like, he's amazing, Corbin Carroll. I think you're underrating how good. And I know Cargo is great. I like Corbin Carroll.
How am I underrating Corbin Carroll? Carlos Gonzalez was a monster
He was great, but not a Hall of Famer.
I know he's not a Hall of Famer, but if Corbin Carroll plays 6 years, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
That's pretty much Carlos Gonzalez's peak.
Yeah, Cargo fell off. Yeah.
7 years.
Corbin Carroll's not falling off. That's what I'm saying.
So it seems like relax.
And look, let's put this.
No, we're gonna cut this audio when they play the Diamondbacks, and you gushing about Corbin Carroll.
He's great.
No, he's great.
He's great. And you know what? Look, we were joking about, like, oh, we'd rather face Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen. Give us one. Zach Gallen is the best pitcher on any of these teams that we're talking about: the Cubs, the Reds, the Diamondbacks, the Marlins, the Giants. Zach Gallen is the best pitcher on all five teams. Boom. I mean, Sandy Alcantara, you could say he hasn't had that year, I'm saying, but...
I'm debating him versus Logan Webb, but
that
it.
Was the other name that popped my head, and Logan Webb has had playoff experience and looked good, but I think it's still Zach Gallen, right? If we're just talking pure talent, it's still Zach Gallen.
By the way, is it weird to you that both Logan Webb and Brandon Webb have, like, the same two-seamer?
Dude, it is...
And they're not related
at all. No, they're not. And dude,
it's the same pitch.
Brandon Webb had...
I loved Brandon Webb.
Heaviest baseball I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I think. If I had to pick this one guy with the heaviest ball I've ever seen, the most balls just slam right into the dirt, it was that dude. He was Cy Young.
I loved Brandon Webb. Yeah. I would say...
He's like kind of a forgot... Like, we don't...
Forgotten great, yeah.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, he was one of the best pitchers of a generation.
I would say him, peak Dan Herron.
Yeah, Dan Herron was not as good as Brandon Webb.
No, he was not.
Yeah.
And Jake Peavy.
Jake Peavy was as good as Brandon Webb. Jake Peavy is... That's the same... They're similar. I think Jake Peavy and Brandon Webb are perfect.
Yeah.
Like, two greats of a generation.
PV lasted longer.
Yeah. PV had like a kind of bounce around career that you don't remember at the end. Like, he was kind of like played on a lot more teams
Jake
than I thought.
PV.
Yeah, me too.
On the 07.
Dude, you know my favorite Jake PV story. The 07 Padres that I went to 3 games out in Petco Park in 07. Shout out to my buddy Donnie McGeary. We went out there. We had a great time. And the last game we saw, 07 Jake PV against J.D. Durbin.
Wow, really?
And J.D. Durbin threw a complete game shutout to beat Jake Peavy. Dude, me and my buddy in the ninth inning are literally standing up. The only two Phillies.
Was this late in the season or early?
It was like summer. It was like July, August, whatever it was. Sitting there going, J.D. Durbin. Like, the only two. There's no Phillies fans anywhere near us, and we're just like the loudest. It was awesome. It was an awesome time.
Yep.
And a great park, Becca.
It's great. Yeah, I haven't been there.
I'm worth the trip. It's a really neat place to watch a baseball game.
My only random Padres-Phillies moment memory from out there was I just remember Antonio Bastardo's debut as a starter.
Oh,
his major league debut was
a
starter. Yeah. By the way, Jake Peavy is a... If you ever want to see my Jake Peavy, I do a perfect...
You know, Jake Peavy's one that you've got, like...
Perfect.
On lockdown.
Maybe on High Hopes Night on Saturday.
Oh,
if you want to see me.
Oh, speaking of which.
Well, watch
Saturday
out
night,
for the rain.
Yes, we know there could be some rain, but as of now, High Hopes Night is happening on Saturday night against the Mets. We'll be at the ballpark 2:30 at Liberty Landing, which is, you know, undercover, which is good, you know, if you're looking for that. But we'll be hanging out, meeting people, meet and greet for, you know, an hour and a half before the game.
By the way,
assuming it doesn't get rained out.
It says 2:35. We've made it clear. We'll be there at 2:30.
Yes.
We don't understand.
Probably be there before.
Why there's an extra 5 minutes?
Being completely honest about it, but
we're not. It's not a baseball game.
Yeah, we're not weird like that. You know, we're just gonna be there.
We didn't put in a request for.
Yes, we weren't like, we'll be there at 2:35. Put 2:35 down.
No earlier than 2:35.
Yeah. Not 2:30. I'm serious about this. 2:35.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we did. We're divas. Sorry.
For sure.
So, you know.
Really full of ourselves.
Yeah, it's what we do. Yeah. You know, just, you know, make it about us.
Okay. Always.
Yes. Cater to us. Seriously, though, we are going to be hanging out at the game on Saturday. Rain or shine? Assuming there is. If there
rain
is
or shine,
a game on
unless
Saturday.
Unless they cancel it that
yes,
morning.
If there is a game, we will be there.
Yes. That's simple.
Good way to put it, right? So coming out. Still have a couple more days, or no, a day. Oh, yes. Today on Jack's show, you can win tickets. On my show tomorrow, I think on Jack's show tomorrow. So tune in, try and win tickets. If not, just buy tickets coming out. It'll be worth it.
Can I have
it.
One last thought on the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, real quick, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I will let you do that. But quickly, let me just give a shout out to the Miller Lite Bar of the Week while we're talking about Miller Lite. I Hopes Night. Shout out to everyone who comes out. Jag, you should appreciate this. It's Timothy's in Westchester.
Love it.
How about that? Today's Miller Lite Bar of the Week is Timothy's in Westchester, where you can watch all Phillies games with $5 Miller, Miller Lite 22-ounce special. That is a great deal.
That's a big old beer.
It's a big old beer. That's the way I like it. Go to mytimothysrestaurants.com. Shout out to Timothy's in Westchester. Our Miller Lite Bar of the Week.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So right. I have a funny story real quick about Timothy's in Westchester.
Okay, good. And then we'll get to the Dynamics.
So,
see, look at this.
So my cousin-in-law, is that what you call your wife's cousin?
Yeah, sure.
So him and his family have gotten openly bandwagon turned into the Phils.
Love it.
Phils this
Welcome
year.
Aboard. Yeah, at least you didn't gatekeep them, which was nice.
No, I would never. I'm not a gatekeeper. Like, he goes to Timothy's in Westchester a good amount, and he texted in the group chat last night a picture of him like, look, they're already up 2-0. And I was like, the game ended 4 hours ago.
No way.
Yeah. He's like, damn
it. So he's watching the replay of Timothy's.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'd love to see them up 2-0 early.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That shout out to cousin-in-law. Yeah. That is so awesome. Yeah. Hey, look. They're up to this great.
Yeah, they're up 2-0.
That's awesome.
It's like, well. He's really? Like, what do you mean? I was like, you're watching a rerun. It's like, I was like, but I need you at Timothy's to be reacting in real time.
Yeah, let me know what's going on. Yeah, it's a good game. You're going to enjoy it.
He texted the group at like, I don't know, 9 and was like, what a throw by Cassie.
That's awesome. Yeah. I really dig that. Yeah. That's
so
really
Timothy's
cool.
Is a cool spot. So,
and you can go rewatch the game later.
Yeah, rewatch the game. Last on Diamondbacks before we move on is that, like, the one thing that I would like about facing them is I the bullpen doesn't really worry me
at all.
Like Paul Sewald's good. I think he's fine.
He's good. He's their best reliever, and he's like
the
solid.
Only reliever.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean they have a bad bullpen.
Yeah,
so really good point.
In a playoff series here, you know, I think that bullpen.
And look,
could...
after the third, if it does go 3, as much as I know we have our own issues, like I will take Ranger over. Whoever's going to, Zach, Brandon Fott, or whoever the hell their third starter is going to be. I don't know who it is.
I need Zach Davies here in a playoff
series. Zach Davies. Exactly. Like any
Knock
of those guys.
Aaron
like
Nola.
They have two great, and I hesitate to call Merrill Kelly great, but he's been great. He's been great. They have two great starters, and then it really falls off.
Yeah. And the key in those games is get them, like, I don't think they're going to do well against them. Get them out after 6.
Yeah. I just.
Keep it close and get them out after
Merrill
6.
Merrill Kelly thing. I can't.
They can't hit him. I'm telling you.
I know they can't. Dude's like a strikeout machine. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I've watched a lot of Merrill Kelly pitch.
Yeah.
And, like, normally
heavy.
I get it. I'm not a pitching expert.
Yeah.
Normally I'm like, oh, yeah, I see Logan Webb. I see it. Yep. I see that. Like, I don't get it with Merrill Kelly. I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's. He's always just looked like an innings eater
yes,
to me.
He just looks like a guy.
Him and Justin Steele are the two I want to face the least in a playoff
series.
Yeah,
they're going to screw us.
Yes. So, yeah, that's my last on Diamondbacks. I think the athleticism, you know, I'm glad it's obviously not there unless they
that
chase
would
us
be,
down.
We all know. Yeah, that is the biggest. Don't let it be in Arizona. That is like
I would rather go to Wrigley.
Honestly, I think we lose if we go to Arizona.
Yeah. I
probably.
Think so
I mean, the history says, like, you know, we're not great.
Hold on. They took 3 or 4 out of there.
They did.
And JT has
By
an inside
By the way,
the
which was
there.
A
match. Not an inside the park, the cycle.
Yeah, JT. Yeah, road JT. The The wild.
Would you take a road series just to get the best version of JT Realmuto?
I mean, you know, he's the one guy that it really matters for one way or the other, you know? So, I don't know.
Would you start Gareth Subs all three games at home? Two games at home? Just so.
What, real quick, before we move on, what did you think about that yesterday? And I know it's just a day game, but they almost never, I think it was only the third time ever that Subs had caught Nola. Never do that. Nola looked pretty good. Like, I don't know.
I had it in the take back. So I was thinking, would you give Stubbsy the start next week against the Pirates?
Well, absolutely. I think you have to find out if this is a thing because, yeah, if you're asking me, would I sit JT Realmuto in a playoff game if I thought it meant that Aaron Nola would pitch better because of it? 100% yes.
So I was thinking about that too. And I think people would say, well, then you're taking JT's bat out of the lineup. You could DH JT. You could put Harper at first. You could keep Castellanos on right. You can keep Schwarber on left.
You could. And then also, if they're at home, I don't care if his bat's out of the lineup. Like, I just don't.
Well, I know.
But I know. He's JT Realmuto and he's got to play. I get it. But, like, either way, all right, whether you DH him or not, like, and I personally wouldn't, but I get it.
But
I get it.
Like, I'd rather have him in the lineup than, like, Jake Cave.
I get it. It's over Jake Cave. I agree with you.
Again, what is Jake Cave?
Why is he still here?
I can't.
Why?
He can't hit.
No, he can't.
And he can't lift the ball.
And he's not even a good fielder. Like, he's okay. He's fine out there, but, like,
he stinks.
Yes. No, you're right. Like, JT will play, but either way, like, I would absolutely, if Nola pitches well against Stubbs and there's something there and Nola likes it, in a second I would do it.
Now, he did go 7 innings of shutout baseball against the Cardinals with JT back mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So, I'm a big fan of the game calling being...
I think there's a 0% chance this happens.
I disagree.
I think JT Realmuto will catch every game in the playoffs.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think if they give Stubbs the start next week against the Pirates and Nola goes shove city, I think Gareth Stubbs starts game two.
I don't. I'll bet you. You want to bet?
No, we already got our other bet.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, you do.
Our not on the air bet. Yeah. Yeah. You're winning. You're winning so far. Early winner.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think there's, I think there could be a
chance.
The
idea that we can only have one bet.
Yeah. No, we can't.
And no one
bets.
Can know about it. Yeah. It's just our bet.
Yeah. And Elliot can be there.
Yeah. Elliot's allowed it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, you think Elliot's going to listen to this podcast in Scotland, by the way?
No.
He's such a loser, man.
I think Elliot listens to IOPS sometimes. But I think
given his baseball takes, I would say he never
listens. Once in a while, like when the Phillies are good. But he tweets it out. He supports it. That's all we can ask for.
Well, he's a very supportive guy.
He is. Elliot is about as good a friend hype man as you can ever
yes.
have. Like Elliot will go out and he will shout that you're the best of the heavens.
Yeah.
He's a good friend.
You.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
And you know when I do it?
When?
In private.
I know.
I don't like it. I'm not a big public guy.
I know you're not.
You know?
Yeah, we're different in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, no. I don't like people knowing that I like them. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Emily's the same way. Emily is always like, so it's like with Zoe, it's very funny because like, I'm always like, you know, I love you, Zoe. You're the best. Oh, I love you. Cause it's me, you know? Huh? And Emily's much more like, you know, she loves her and tells her, but she's much more like, she makes Zoe come to her. And all Zoe cares about is Emily's love.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't care less about me.
Yeah.
And it's all because of that.
Right.
And it's, like, so much smarter.
That's why
so credit.
Me and Emily.
I'm giving you credit.
Me and Emily yes. are one-on-one people.
Yes, this is smart.
I don't like groups.
No, Emily hates groups. Yeah.
Hate groups.
Yes. Emily will be at High Hopes Night, by the way. Emily will be there.
I'm good in those group settings.
Yeah.
When there's a lot of people.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm pretty good. Yeah. But even at High Hopes, I guess talk to one-on-one.
I know you do. One-on-one. I know you do.
You know? So High Hopes Night will be great as long as it doesn't rain.
Yep. We can't wait for it.
Yes.
The easiest thing you'll ever do is keep your car serviced with Roda.
That's a real 5-star Google review from Diana S. And honestly, she nailed it. Roda is the DMV's most trusted auto shop. Maintenance, repairs, and detailing with free valet pickup and drop-off, no hidden fees and no pressure. Book in minutes at Roda.com and save 20% with code POD20. It's Roda. Duh.
All right, take back.
The old take back, huh? The old take
back. It's actually a new one today.
Yeah. Okay. This is not to sound negative.
Good start.
Not to sound negative. But every time they show Brandon Marsh's stats, aren't you like, really?
Yeah, I'm always like, wow.
Dude, his OPS, like, He has 10 home runs.
Yeah.
And his OPS is like in the 820s.
It's still. He's like only recently not been the OPS leader on the team for the season.
It's like every time I see him, I'm like, how?
I also feel like he has not really lifted the ball in a month.
No, he's just been ripping it into the ground.
I know. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
He used to home run. Like, he felt like, all right, Marshall, you get a home run here. You're right. He only, like, it's as everyone else, the homer numbers, have, all of a sudden you look and it's like, oh, like, remember the whole season where they're like, Schwarber's the only one who's hitting home runs. Now you look, it's like they're going to end up with five guys with 20 plus homers, which I did not see coming at all.
Well, and
300 RBI guys? Like,
which, again, seems impossible.
It seems impossible.
And I believe, I mean, both Casty and Trey Turner have an outside shot at 30.
Yeah. Well, no, Trey Turner, I mean, he's got 26. Yeah. So he needs it
Casty.
Four. And you have Casty. Yeah, they both are 26. Or Casty got 27 yesterday.
I thought it was 26.
Yeah. Either way, they're both right there. I mean, again, and I mean, Schwarber, by the way, is going to end up with a 4,800 season, which is like no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, guy stinks, right?
Yeah, batting average.
He's going to end up with like 112 runs or 115 runs. Like, what are we doing here? How does anyone still have an issue with this?
That's what I wanted to put in the take back.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because this is a true take, actually.
Oh, wow. You haven't had one of those in a while. Look at that.
I don't mean this to sound like I am ripping older players,
okay,
which I would never do. I am pro the older generation.
You never rip old. You never make fun of old people for being old. You never, you know, it's not your thing.
But let me just make this abundantly clear.
Oh, God.
You can't convince me that at one point Mickey Mantle hit a ball almost 100 feet further than that Schwarber home run. Like, it had to be judged. They had to be picking it by eye test. 565 from Mickey Mantle. Like, no way.
So I grew up.
There's no freaking way that Mickey Mantle hit a ball.
That home run was legend growing up. Like, when I was a kid, like, that was like every parent said that was the furthest home run ever hit. That it went out of Yankee, or they almost went out of Yankee.
That's not it's just physics.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like, what are we doing? Were they measuring it? Did they get a tape measure out? Because I know they didn't have all these advanced stats back then. Like, can we be honest? I know we do the whole thing. And I'm big on era dependent, like era specific. Like, I am no problem saying that someone who played in the 50s is the greatest player of all time. Like, I don't believe that per se. But, like, I could say it because I'm judging them against their era. But, like, in all honesty, this is a discussion about physical ability. And strength and size and all these things
they
that like
lift.
No one in the 1950s hit a ball like that. No one.
Now,
no one.
Here's where
no one hit a ball probably within 100 feet of that, or maybe 50 feet of that in the 1950s.
Like 565.
Like, these guys were smaller. They were less strong. They were not using the same sort of training regimen. This, that, like, this is crazy town.
And
the bats are better. The balls are better. Like, stop.
And pitchers weren't throwing as hard.
Of course not. Exactly. There's not as much philosophy to get it out with.
Yeah.
Like, Jack.
It's just,
fully support this take.
Like, it's just, it's okay. Like, 565, there's no way that's real.
No.
And
0%.
And maybe it was after it stopped rolling.
Maybe it landed and rolled another 100 feet. Sure, I guess that's possible. Yeah.
Like, fuck, sure. Like, come on,
outrageous.
Man. Outrageous. Sure, like, whatever.
Thank you. Again, like, I think the 20th furthest home run this year is probably further than that Mickey Mantle home run. You know what I mean? Like, I think it is so overrated in that sense.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm
here I've been waiting to put that one out there. So I had this written down had they lost yesterday.
So I like that you still brought it. I really appreciate that about you. You're like, I'm gonna do this if they lose, but you know what? They won. I'm just gonna say I would have done it if they lost. I guess we'll do it.
Yeah, because I'm all about, you know, fairness.
Yes.
So
transparency, fairness, all these things.
If they come up short. Right.
Are we talking like World Series short?
World Series short, okay. or even NLCS, like if they lose in the DM, whatever. It's going to be because they just didn't do enough at the deadline.
Yep.
Like, I was thinking about that yesterday.
I was with Lorenzen. Like, I was thinking about Lorenzen. Like,
big moves and a chance. If they they couldn't bank on the offense. They should have probably been able to bank on the offense, but whatever. Like, at that time, the offense was not doing very well. And after that time, they were the best offense in baseball. So that's a hard thing to kind of predict. But if you just... Their deadline was Rodolfo Castro
and
Michael Lorenzen.
And both were misses. I mean, Lorenzen game a little bit. Obviously, a couple starts that helped them win games.
Two.
I said a couple.
That's it.
I literally said
two.
Like, they were both unequivocally bad moves. Like, unequivocally. And again, forgetting what Bailey Falter, it's not like he's been great or whatever. But, Like, Rodolfo Castro has been zero. He's been a literal zero. Like, he doesn't play. He didn't barely pinch hits. Like, he is useless. And Lorenzen is a miss. Like, it's a flat-out miss. Especially when we talked about, like, you know what they should have freaking done? Gone out and got a real bullpen arm, right? Like, wouldn't it have been nice if when we talked about them going out and getting one of these freaking guys, an Alex Lang, or the hell you want to say it is, like, and go get a guy who, like, can actually come in and make a difference, because wouldn't that be nice right now to have a dude who could throw like Sir Anthony and actually looks like that now? Like, right?
One arm short.
Right?
Like, that's what I look at the bullpen as.
And we said it in the minute. And we said it in the moment.
And they might have to bring up Orion Kerkring. Maybe he can be that guy. And he had scoreless. He had scoreless AAA debut last night, which is good. Because they, I guess their concern was they wanted to see how he'd do with the big league balls, because they use big league baseballs in AAA.
Real quick.
Yes.
Why don't they use big league baseballs all throughout the
season? I have no idea.
Like, what are we doing here? It's just like high school? Like, I know. You know, seriously, though, right?
Well, because the seams are tighter. I have no
idea. Whatever. Use the ball. Like, it's like the idea that in high school, like, you play with a different size football or something, which they do. Like, it's like, why?
Well, that's because their hands are smaller.
I know. In high school, I'm talking college. Like, if you guys are going to play in the NFL, like, shouldn't you play with the same size ball? I don't know.
So, I was thinking
the metal bats thing. We've talked about this before. It's like,
just get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
But I was thinking about yesterday. It's like, man, if they just added one, like the starter thing, whatever. If they could just add one more legitimate, and eventually they're going to have, and maybe it's this offseason. Maybe it's this offseason that they have the core set. They know what they're getting. They don't have to deal with Harper missing whatever.
Everyone's
time.
Under contract. Like, so you think organizationally they looked and said, all right, this, like, we're gonna make some moves now, see what happens. We could still win, but we're going to really.
It was a half-in deadline.
We said it in the moment. Like, it was a better version of that. And it's a shame, too, that they didn't do enough, but it's also a shame that these moves didn't work out. Like, last year, Dombrowski had a great trade deadline. You know, even though the Syndergaard thing wasn't great, like, Brandon Marsh mattered for the Phillies last year. He mattered this year. Like, David Robertson had big moments. He was a part of the team and all that. Like, these are two moves and both misses at a team that needed those moves.
You need a guy to get you one inning in a playoff game. Lorenzen or Syndergaard? last year's Syndergaard.
Like Lorenzen today?
Yeah, like this Lorenzen.
Yeah, I think I'd take last year's Syndergaard. Wouldn't you?
I don't know, man. I couldn't stand why.
It's horrible. Yeah. I know.
But their stuff looks exactly the same.
It's just, you mean they're nothing?
they look exactly the same.
Like By the way. The lack of movement on these pitches when you watch, it is...
It's not great.
Not good.
By the way.
I almost did an Elliott. I almost like, I could hit it. And then I was like, no, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. I'm not an idiot. I know I couldn't.
By the way, Dylan Covey should pitch before both of them in a playoff game.
I know, dude.
Before Tyron Walker.
No, I'm with you on this.
Before Mike Lorenzen.
I did this ago. I'm like, is Dylan Covey good? Like,
not,
I know.
He's not that bad.
No.
Again,
I have more faith that he will not give up runs than other guys who pitch in bigger spots, without a doubt.
Who's better, Dylan Covey or Britton Covey?
I mean, Dylan Covey.
Okay, good.
Britton Covey is... What are we doing here?
I know.
I'm with you. Similar type of thing with like caring of making such a great roster and caring about it and not just getting this one little piece that can really help you.
Yeah. So I want to talk about my interaction at Wawa this morning.
Oh, good. Okay, good. What a great.
Because you know my affinity for older baseball fans, right?
Yes, of course. It's so one of your things.
This. The one guy at Wawa working.
Which, hold up real quick. It's also funny because you have an affinity for older baseball fans and for younger baseball fans. You love the ends of the spectrum. You want young kids to be
like
into
baseball,
it. I know, but it is funny. I never thought about the fact that you love both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
You're into whenever we have like young listeners to the pod, we meet kids who are listening, you get so excited about it. Whenever we meet like a dad who listens, you get so excited about it.
I know. I get more excited about the dad.
You do.
It's like, how do you find
the
podcast?
You do. No, you do. But still, it is funny that those are your favorites, the ends of the spectrum.
And everyone in between. Get lost.
Yeah, if you did in New York.
But yeah, so because older baseball fans, like, just always angry. Like they're never happy. It's always this guy's things, accountability.
I mean, to be fair, when you've lived 70 plus years as a Phillies fan,
these things happen. Built up over time.
Yes, these things happen.
You're not the biggest fan of me. So this guy at Wawa who's working, he sees an old guy who I guess must have been a regular or whatever, and he goes, "Hola." And the guy without missing a beat goes, "You know, Noah's got good stuff." And like he
the guy said hola, like hello, hola, and the guy went, wait a minute.
Yeah, he was like, without missing a beat.
Love this guy.
Listen, Noel does have good stuff. So if he could just put it together,
did
I was
you
like,
jump in?
What? No,
you're
I
like,
just laughed.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
I just laughed. I was very happy.
That's great.
And then the guy was like, the worker was like, I just said hola, you know,
just saying hi.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, ah, well, you know, the game yesterday, whatever. So
to be fair, just say hi.
Yeah, no.
Like, don't do the hola thing. Like, come on. And I don't blame the old guy for being like, who says hola?
Yeah.
Like, enough. All right.
So, Nola. So, he's like, he just went right into a bit about Aaron Nola.
That's great work. Shout out to that guy. Maybe he's a listener.
Maybe he's a listener. I'm ready to put it out there.
Uh-oh.
A number one target for the...
Well, we're going there already. We're already the offseason. One of my favorite long-time items bits, and now it's even better because we have playoffs coming up, is you just looking at the offseason and the season,
mm-hmm.
which used to make more sense.
Yeah.
Makes less sense now.
I know. Okay. But the guy that I need, and...
just go right in.
Like, I just... He's my number one target in free agency this offseason.
Okay.
And full disclosure, mm-hmm. I know that he would come here and be horrible. But I just...
I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
I mean, go on.
I need Jesse Chavez to be a Phil.
Really? I was not expecting... I mean, I really like Jesse Chavez. Dude gets outs.
Dude.
I did not... of all the names,
number
he seems
one.
Quite likable, actually. I like him.
Him and... Again, I will, at some point, get Adam Duvall in the Phillies.
Yeah.
And now I need Jesse Chavez on that list.
Like, Jesse Chavez is a lock to get big outs against us. In the
dude, it's
just a lock.
All he does is come in when the Braves are down by two.
Yep.
Pitch, like... five innings of pretty good baseball, and then the Braves come back and win. Like, it is a tale as old as time. I don't care that he's almost 40.
Yeah.
I need Jesse Chavez.
I love
Jesse
it.
Chavez has been around forever.
So I think most, like, longtime listeners, and I know me, were definitely expecting a weird name. Like, we were not expecting you to be like, man, they got to get Mike Trout here or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we mm-hmm. weren't expecting that. We were expecting some off the beaten path. I did not.
You didn't see Jesse Chavez coming?
No.
I just, he is. He
really,
is,
as your top free agent
he is
acquisition.
Everything I've ever wanted in a bullpen arm. He is.
Dude, you are absolutely, in the history of Jesse Chavez's life, the first person to say that.
I disagree. Anthopoulos brings him back every year.
No, I
every
know.
Year they bring him back when he's terrible elsewhere.
I know.
And he turns into like the best reliever in baseball again.
I
so
know.
I know he's going to come here and be bad.
Yeah. Oh,
but I need to know.
And then we'll cut him. We'll go back to the Braves.
And be great and win the World Series. I need to know what it's like to have a middle reliever that can just come in and get outs for like three innings.
Now, if Dylan Covey's not proven enough to you?
He's not. Needs to be Jesse Chavez next
it's
year.
Great.
I need Jesse Chavez.
I really like that. Thank that you. Made me happy.
If this offseason... Is Adam Duvall and Jesse Chavez?
You're set.
You can just bank on the World
you
know, Series and a Corbin Burns straight, but that's third.
That's
in the
clear
list.
Third.
Yes.
Yeah. Far less important. You can win without Corbin Burns. Jesse Chavez, probably can't.
It's hard. I mean, look, all he does is win in Atlanta. So Jesse Chavez, number one target.
I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
And then
really good.
My final thing in the take bag.
Oh,
and I don't know how you're gonna feel about this, but it's how I feel.
Okay.
Is Roland Knight's on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think we have such positive momentum after the Trey thing that we don't need to take a step back with a boo fest of Scott Roland. Like, just, doesn't need to be a standing ovation. Doesn't need to be this. Just a round of applause.
So,
I don't need a ton of boo. Like,
I think
there's going to be a couple people that are going to boo. But I just think that, like, think about how great of a run this has been for the Philly sports fan. Like it feels like we're getting stories written about how, like, oh, brotherly love's real. And, like, they're not the meanest people. There's been way less snowballs at Santa's conversations. Way less batteries at J.D. Drew. Way less of this. And, like, I just think it would be a step back. I think it would be a step back if Friday night, on a good moment for Roland and his family, if it turned into a boo fest.
All right, so you're correct. I don't agree with you on this. I don't need it to be a boo fest, but I can't, like, I feel like it would be disingenuous to not let some people boo at this. Like,
well, people, I think people are
like,
going to boo it.
Boo Scott Roland. That's how I feel as a human being and as a Phillies fan. Like, boo that guy.
No.
I hate that guy. I don't want to cheer him. I think it's a massive mistake the Phillies are putting him on the wall of fame, the silly thing that they have to begin with. Like, it's a mistake. No one wants to go celebrate Scott Roland. Like, I have zero, like, hope or want or whatever to go cheer that guy. Like, screw that guy. So... look, I agree it should not be a loud chorus of boos, but like I am fine with some polite claps and a smattering of boos. Like that's what the guy deserves. Give him what he deserves.
Just I think it's going to turn more into.
Look, the ovation was perfect. It was a great idea.
I don't want that. I'm not saying standing ovation.
I know you're not, but I'm saying, like, we still have to be real. We still have to be genuine. I don't want to step back. Who we are as Philadelphians.
I don't want to step back.
It's not a step back. It's a righteous boo. He deserves to get booed. There's a difference between just booing to be a J.O. and booing because the person deserves to hear your ire. And that's what Scott Rowland is.
Does he, though?
Too soft.
Does he deserve to hear his does he deserve to hear it? Because they weren't bowling
around.
Going
back, Jack, what did you say last pod? And you were two pods ago. You're damn right. Boomers have the best baseball takes. I guarantee you the boomers are not cheering for Scott Rowland.
I'm not saying cheer. I'm just not saying. I just don't want to boo. That's all I want.
Okay. If I would be fine if people want to sit there in silence. If you want to just sit.
I'm sure that'll
and honoring Scott Rowland. And it's like.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm fine with that. If they want to just sit silently.
I know there's not going to be. I don't want a standing ovation. I don't want that.
Enough, dude. And also, like everyone out there, Sal Licata, who I actually think is really good. I like Sal Licata.
Love Sal.
Yeah, I think he's great. Enough with the standing ovation for Zach Wilson and the standing ovation for Carlos Correa. And, like enough.
They tried to do it for Jack Flaherty.
Enough. Like, do these people not understand what this was? This was a particular moment in time with a particular person who signed a $300 million contract, who was trying as hard as all, like there was a million little factors that went into this being the perfect thing for the perfect guy in the perfect spot. Like, stop. Like, stop.
But I appreciate it. good try, good effort. So we'll see what happens on Friday. I think we're in a good spot, and I don't think we need to have a big old, because you know the national media can't wait to, like, turn it back on and be like, oh, see, they ruined Scott Rowland night.
Again, shouldn't be having Scott Rowland night. That's the big deal,
sure.
Right? Yeah.
Sure.
What are we doing here? Like, it's, again, to your point, like, we got to have a freaking Wall of Fame ceremony. Like, no one wants this.
At least they're not retiring his number. He's a Hall of Famer.
Nobody wants this.
Hoskins comes back next year wearing, God, like, 19.
Nobody wants this. That's all I'll say.
All right. By the way, Johan Rojas is the everyday center fielder. How wild is that from, like, the...
From the days of original High Hopes when he's a 16-year-old and you're talking about him on High Hopes, 17-year-old? Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
Over here.
And he's been great.
Defensively.
Yeah, and he's been good offensively.
I still am shocked.
I don't believe it. Every time he comes up, I don't expect him to get hit, but he's been good, man. Mm-hmm. And he hit a homer off an actual real pitcher the other day.
That's his first career homer.
The other one, when you have to apologize... When you're apologizing to the guy on the mound for your home run, I don't think we count that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he's like, my bad, shouldn't have done that. Yep. Sorry. Yep. That was fun, though, to see him get one. That was a big home run.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, game one of the World Series might be him and, or not game one of the World Series. Sorry. Game one of the wild card round.
Oh, I like where your head's at.
Could be Johan Rojas and Brandon Marsh and center
Schwarber and left.
Schwarber DHing.
Yeah, which I think that will be the line.
Now, do you think that he can do that every day? Do you think that Johan Rojas has played well enough to where he can be the everyday center fielder next year? Now, I know this is not every day. It's not really going to work out like this, but is it enough to not bring Reese back and put him at first base to where you have Harper at first base the majority of the time, Schwarber in left, or Martian left, Rojas center field, and Schwarber the DH?
I think so.
Which is a big spot where we've gotten to.
Yeah. I think it is, though.
It just makes the overall team better.
And it also gives you more versatility moving forward. Like, it just makes so much more sense from a roster construction standpoint. And I think Harper likes it over there. At least, you know, it's kind of the vibe I'm getting from the way he's talked about it, from playing it, all that. It seems like he's into it.
There's no really other way to make it work with bringing Reese back. Like, you put Reese at first, Harper in right.
No, and then Cassian left, Schwarber DH, but then you're
Rojas in center,
yeah,
but Marsh, but then Rojas isn't playing.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way to make him both.
It's going to be one of the biggest questions of this offseason.
It's
how
fascinating.
How real do they think Johan Rojas?
Yeah, it is. And also, can you get by? They did this year, but they didn't for a while. Get out without the extra big kind of bat in the lineup with Reese. You know, you're trading a big bat for a big glove. Mm-hmm. You know,
what a time.
Phillies.
Wow, what a big defensive club.
I love it. All right, any final thoughts?
Let's just not mess around with the Mets.
Oh,
they're playing decent baseball.
No, they keep winning, dude.
Yeah.
They keep winning. And you know, in what has been a season from hell for that team, there is nothing they want to do more than end their season by beating up on us.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to bring it.
Don't let that happen.
Don't let that happen. All right. And I guess don't boo Scott Rowland. But if you really want to, just go for it.
Don't boo Scott Rowland. And we'll see you Saturday.
And we'll see you Saturday.
Maybe.
Coming out, maybe.
2:30.
Yeah, we'll be there if there is a there to be there. All right? And if not, I'm sure we'll figure something out. But either way, coming out, it's going to be awesome. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.